This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Imagine you're a construction worker called in to start tearing down a wall at a university for some renovations. You peel back a layer of particle board or sheetrock, maybe expecting to get to the bones of the building. But instead, you get another wall, and on that wall is a giant painting of a nearby geological feature. And taped to the wall by the mural is a note explaining what the heck it is you're looking at. That's what happened recently at the University of Vermont when construction workers discovered a 1930s mural glued to a wall behind another wall at Perkins Hall. Devin Coleman is a state architectural historian for the Vermont Division for Historic Preservation, and he can help pick up the story from there. Hi, Devin. Nice to talk with you.
Hi there.
Okay, so describe the mural that was uncovered when this wall was peeled back.
Well, it's, as you said, a large mural. It's about 6 feet tall and 8 feet wide, approximately, and it's oil on canvas, and it depicts a local scene of the Champlain Thrust Fault, which is on, for anyone who's been on Lake Champlain, very well-known and famous geological formation out on Rock Point.
And Lone Rock Point, can you describe why this is an important geological formation? I mean, my limited geological understanding is that basically it's sort of a flipped instance where the older rock is on top
exactly.
and the younger rock is visible beneath.
Right. So, and my understanding, I'm not a geologist either, is that it's really a great spot to see that exposed from the lake, from the shoreline, and UVM students every year trek out there and study it. They have to sketch it. So having this painting is really great.
And this was a 1930s print painting done. It was commissioned. Can you describe, I mean, this was part of that whole New Deal. So what was going on? Why was
right.
this painting?
So it was part of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, which was an umbrella a suite of programs, we could call it, aimed at getting America out of the Great Depression. And one of his leaders, Harry Hopkins, who was instrumental in the Roosevelt administration, he came up with the idea that artists were starving too. And instead of putting an artist to work on a road crew, you know, building new sidewalks and gutters and so on, why not pay artists to create works of art? But not simply for their own benefit, for public appreciation. And so the genesis of this painting and many others around the country was this notion that the government, the federal government, could hire artists to create works of art to then be displayed in public buildings, museums, libraries, town halls, schools, and so on.
And this painting, remind me the painter's first name. His last name was Pease.
Raymond Pease.
Raymond Pease. And he was commissioned to make this. And it was on display. It was, in fact, displayed at UVM for many, many years. Mm-hmm. It was displayed in this building where the geology department used to live,
right.
used to be housed.
Actually, originally it was on display at the Fleming Museum. Mm-hmm. That's where it was originally intended to be displayed. And it was shown there as part of their geology exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, we think in the 50s or 60s, it was relocated to the Perkins Building and on display there. And then eventually plans changed, use of the space changed, and they decided to cover it up with a false wall because it was actually glued to the wall. So that makes removal difficult.
Well, so here's one of the questions that I have for you is, you know, it was glued to the wall, so it was difficult to remove. And in the mid-90s, I guess, mm-hmm. when it came time to figure out what do we do with this thing, they decided to build this false wall in front of it because they couldn't quite figure out how to remove that.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a note with it saying what they had done and why. But the 90s weren't that long ago. Why was this a discovery? You know, why was this somehow lost to time over the course of just 20 years?
You know, I think it shows how quickly we forget.
Mm.
You know, faculty retire, new staff come in. And it was something that once it was mentioned to some former faculty who were still in the area, that do you remember anything about a painting? Then it kind of recalled something about it, but really the details had been lost. And it just shows our short-term memory is fleeting.
So it really was a discovery to peel back this wall and think, oh
yeah.
my gosh, there's a painting there.
Right, right. And it was really great, the reaction from UVM when they did find it, because the last thing you want when you're in the middle of a construction project is some unexpected discovery. That's like worst case scenario.
Right. Because, the reaction may not have been, oh, great, a painting.
Right. It's like, oh, no, what do we do? But they were on top of it. They called in all the right experts. They got a conservator there to evaluate it, assess it, and really quickly got a plan together to get it off the wall and keep their construction schedule moving.
How important was it to have that plastic bag with it that explained what the reasoning for the painting
essential.
Was?
that was really great. And it's funny because the note that they left in that little Ziploc baggie with the painting it's written as if they're speaking to someone 500 years in the future. And, you know, it's less than 30.
But, we used to have cars.
Exactly. But it gave some really good context for, okay, what is this? And why is it here? Why did they cover it up?
So the painting has now fully been removed?
Yes.
So part of the problem in the 90s is that they couldn't quite figure out how to get it off the wall because mm-hmm. it had been glued to the wall. So how did the painting get removed from the wall this time?
A professional fine arts conservator was brought in and she evaluated the painting, and overall it was really in good condition. Some minor paint loss and staining, but generally in pretty good shape. And she was able to stabilize the surface and then very carefully just mechanically detach the canvas backing from the wall surface and, you know, separate that glue layer just using a little scalpel, basically.
And where's the painting going to live now?
The plan, as far as I understand it, is to clean it up, get it conserved, stabilized, and stretched on a proper wooden stretcher, and then hang it in Delahanty Hall, which is where the Perkins Geology Museum is now. And so it will be on display for all the geology students to see when they go in and out of the building every day.
So all of this hard work for this painting, is it actually a good painting?
I would say what's really intriguing about the painting to me is that...
Is this a non-answer?
No. Yeah. I think it's a good painting. But I think it's a local artist portraying a local scene. So we've got this hyper-local component, but then it's part of this much broader national context of federal support of the arts during the Great Depression. And I think that story layered onto the local story is what makes it really intriguing and interesting and leads to conversations like this about, you know, who did it? Why did they do it? Who paid for it? Why was the government paying artists to create works of art? And so it really generates a lot of conversation.
So is that the part that's fun for you? I mean, as an architectural historian and working for the state, I mean, is that the part of this story that really gets you jazzed?
Yes. Yeah. Figuring out why, you know, why does a building look the way it does? Why was a painting commissioned for the Woodstock Post Office? You know, why is it there? And, you know, figuring out those stories is what gives meaning to these projects.
Do you think there are more paintings, treasures around the state that have been hidden behind false walls or new walls?
Probably, yeah. In fact, in my research, I had heard that there was a painting at UVM done under a New Deal project, and for 10 years, I've never been able to find it. And I don't feel bad because it was behind a wall. So I, you know, don't feel like I overlooked anything. But I would not be surprised if there are more out there.
I have been picturing since I heard this story, treasure hunters all over UVM now just taking a hammer and crowbar to various walls trying to find what's beneath. And you know, you hear about homeowners doing that and finding mm-hmm. things behind walls too. So do you mm-hmm. think there are just, you know, millions of treasures buried in architectural spaces?
I don't know if I'd say millions, but there could be some out there. And I think the approach in the 90s of just not being able to remove it and just concealing it with the false wall was the perfect solution. You know, if you can't deal with it, just preserve it in place and let someone else down the road take care of it.
Devin Coleman is a state architectural historian for the Vermont Division for Historic Preservation. Thanks very much for telling us the story.
Thank you.